God, there's nothing that I can say that no one's ever thought of. There's nothing that I can speak that no one's ever spoken. God, the only way that this will mean anything is if you guide my mouth and help it to be holy. So God, I ask one thing, that today the word cuts like a knife and pulls out the old man which should be dead, but that's still hiding, and brings the new man to life. Father God, we speak the spirit of life and holiness into the people in this room and to the people who aren't with us. Lord, I pray that we have the bravery and the courage to change to be who we want to be and who you long for us to be. God, we ask your forgiveness for the things that we slip up in. Give us courage to change these things, God. Lord, times are getting harder every day, and it's harder to be the man that you call us to be. So God, we just beg for grace and for your mercy. Teach us to be holy, God. In your name we pray. Amen. By your words. By your words. You can put that up on the screen. You can have a title this week. It's the only thing I can remember. I've already lost my notes twice and my book once. And Randy says I look sick because my eyeballs are red. It's not sickness. It's lack of sleep. All right. By your words. I was talking with Josh this week, and I was trying to look up a scripture for him. And I stumbled across another scripture that hit pretty close to home. And it's something that I have tried my very best to practice, but it's something that I have watched destroy a lot of people. I don't know how else to say it except, but we'll read that scripture later. It mostly is talking about this. It says, you know, most of us have heard the scripture when it talks about our tongue being like a rudder that steers the ship. Okay, that's true. The part that we forget is that we're judged by every idle word that we speak. We're not only judged by every idle word that we speak, we're also saved by every word that we speak. Okay, so catch on to that. Anyway, but I was talking and I pulled up the scripture and I was like, man. But someone who speaks, you know, it's easy to say like, you know, like cursing, like swearing. That's a really easy thing for our mind to grasp. You can see someone who, I mean, I've worked every job you can imagine and played, you know, competitive sports, and so, you know, but you can watch how slowly these people, they say things over and over and over again, and they get so used to saying these things that they become like a poison. But someone who tries to keep their mouth silent and keep it bridled, and try to keep it solely devoted to God, who tries not to look and act like the world, they have a peace and they have a steadiness that's about them. I don't necessarily believe it's the words, but it's the heart behind them. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me. But I've watched people, you all know a lot of people like this too, who they constantly are saying things to rag on people, you know, this effing person, this blah, 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 blah. And they say this enough that they begin to start harboring thoughts of malice, like bitterness and anger. They say these things and it begins to plant that seed of bitterness and of anger and of rage and all these different things. And although it seems like a small thing at the time, saying, you know, well, gall darn this and blah, blah, that and all these different things, they say these things. And slowly over time, these seeds of bitterness start planting there, and things seem to seem really easy. You hear people say things like, well, I'll just effing kill this person. You say that enough time, and you will do it. You plant that seed enough, and it will grow. Okay? So just keep that in mind. But that's an easy thing to do when we talk about swearing because, you know, as Christians, most of us try not to do that when we're around our Christian friends. Okay? But the thing that really got to me was this. I was reading this book, and he's talking that not only is it necessarily just that aspect, but it's every seat of judgment. Every time, whatever negative you say about someone who you call a brother, every time you say something negative about someone who you have aught with, every single time, whether it comes out to a friend of yours or whether it comes to that person, every time it crosses your mouth, it's an acceptance of what you're feeling. If you can keep it in here before it comes out here, and you can confess that to God, and you bridle your tongue, it's a confession instead of a confession with your mouth. It's a confession to God and trying to change that instead of a confession to the world that I accept this feeling. Okay? So hang on to that. This is what Bonhoeffer has to say. He has this little chapter, and he calls it the ministry of holding one's tongue. He calls it the ministry of self-justification, which basically is this. So I have a problem with Jeff, and to justify myself, I talk to Paul about how Jeff has wronged me. Okay? Now, this very much is accepting the fact that this is how I feel, and I'm not willing to change about that. This person has wronged me. Therefore, it's not God's to change this person. Now I have solely given my hope and being over to Paul to change this person. Okay? Everybody catching this? Okay? All you have done now is you have made a mess. You've not forgiven that person. You've planted a seed of bitterness, of evil, of all these different things. You've planted that. And now not only have you planted it, you've watered it because you've accepted it with your mouth. Therefore justifying yourself that it's okay. That's what he's trying to get across. That's not how he says it, but that's how I took it. Isolated thoughts of judgment can be curbed and smothered by never allowing them the right to be uttered, except as a confession of sin. He who holds his tongue in his cheek controls both his mind and his body. Thus, it must be a decisive rule of every Christian fellowship that each individual is prohibited from saying much that occurs to him. This prohibition does not include the personal word of advice or guidance on that point, but it is the covetousness that is forbidden under the cloak of help and goodwill. For precisely in that disguise, that spirit of hatred among the brothers always creeps in and creates its mischief. Can you see how that happens? It's so simple. It's so easy because instead of forgiving this person, which we may have rightfully been wronged, if that makes sense. I hope that came out right. But anyway, this person has wronged us. And instead of giving this power to God and confession to God that we have a wrong feeling about it and that we need to change and that God, if you'll change this person, I will give them a chance. If you will help this person to change, I will give them a chance. We will restore, the Bible says it like this. When a brother falls, restore him gently so that he's not crumbled. Okay? If a person wrongs you, necessarily it might not be your job to restore them, but it is someone's job to restore them gently. But it is your job not to step on top of them. Okay? Regardless of how you feel about this, this is what the Bible says. If someone has wronged you, get over it, because it is not yours to fix. If you have planted that seed of bitterness and of hatred and of those things, leave it be and pray to God that it dies. And pray that that seed that does not bring forth fruit. But every time you speak these things, you will be held to account for them because you're watering that seed, which will grow vines of death. Okay. Matthew 12:33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil of his heart, out of the man of evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Here's the part. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That in itself is enough to think on for a long time. That in and of itself is enough to think on a lifetime. But that's what reminded me of this. It's not because we say things like, you know, you'll be judged by your words. It's not just being judged by your words. You'll be saved by them too. If you speak edifying your brothers, if you speak life, if you speak forgiveness, if you speak love, if you speak hope, you will be saved by those things. If you speak the love of Christ to people, if you speak the joy of the hope of your salvation, that's how you wind up being saved. Because let me tell you, the monks learned this, that regardless of whether you ever speak again another day in your life, it is possible for you to go to hell. There are lots of monks who swore vows of silence and lived sinful lives. There are people who have their tongues cut out and have been deceitful people. So they learned that this was not the answer, that not speaking is not the answer. Because if so, if that was the answer, wouldn't it make sense that as a Christian, the first thing we would do is we would cut our tongues out? And that's how you get to go to heaven. Amen. By your words, you will be condemned, and by them you will be justified. If you can never praise the name of Jesus, you won't crest those golden gates. If you can never share a forgiveness of something you've been wronged for, of something that you have wrongfully been had happen to you, if you can never share that Christ is bigger than these things, then you will not be saved. Because this is what Jesus came down here to teach us. I was talking to a guy in the streets on Tuesday. He said it like this. He says, one of the reasons I love Jesus is because this. He didn't come to just talk. He says, I think people imagine Jesus like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said that wasn't Jesus. Jesus was the guy that would sit on the stump and he was feeding people and said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes but the Father but through me. And then he'd walk and go do more stuff. He wasn't stationary. He wasn't bragging about himself. But by his words, he was justified, and by his words, he was condemned. Okay, do you understand this? He praised his Father all the time. If you ever read any of the Gospels, you know, he has some amazing parables. He has some amazing things like that. But one thing you constantly hear is this. It's not my power, it's my Father's. That's how we're supposed to live. It's not my power, it's Christ within me. It's not my forgiveness, it's Christ within me. It's, people like this. Well, why would I ever forgive that person? They really hurt me. Blah, 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 blah. It's not my forgiveness, it's Christ in me. Well, you're so dumb, you keep forgiving them, blah, 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 they keep trampling over you. It's not mine, it's Christ in me. It's the way that we were taught to live. It's the way that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked on this planet, which was as the people who he was called to save crucified him. He said, they don't know what they're doing. This is what he said about the people he knew were going to kill him. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. But I hear people do these things all the time. They're like, you know, they talk about, they'll talk about the Bible this, and they'll talk about this, and, you know, and then they'll string forth a random, you know, 27 paragraph long thing on why this person is effing this, and blah, blah, that, and blah, 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 this. And even more than that, you can just hear the negativity coming out of their mouth, and you go, something's not right. There's a kinked valve in there. The system's not functioning at 100%. Something's not right. Because when you hear this happen, the first thing that you think is you go, certainly that person doesn't have their heart right. That's the very first thing you think. And I know you think it because I've been on both sides of it. I've been the one having it done to me, and I've been the one doing it. Everyone in this room has had it this way. I promise. No one is exempt of this. Okay? I know. It's a little rough to hear. But I understand. But I understand. This is my job. Right. This is the purpose. That's what this is written for. It's written to come and to pull out the old man. Have you ever seen those forceps things that they stick inside people's bodies to grab stuff and pull them out? That's what the Bible is. The Bible's the scalpel, the Bible's the laser, and the Bible's that big hook that comes in that grabs something you didn't even know was there and rips it out. That's what the Bible is. Okay. But I want you to think about that. Because I know that every single person in here has done it at one point, and that every single person in here has had it happen to them, and you've heard it, which is this. Well, this person did this to me. Blah, 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 them. Blah, 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 they're so this. They're so mean. They're so judgmental. They're so wrong. They're so this. They're so that. What does it really mean? All you hear them doing is just watering a seed of bitterness and waiting for it to grow. That's all it is in the end. Because when you watch this happen, you can watch single-handedly that person dissolve. I know you've seen it because I've watched it too. When you hear someone talk so negatively about someone in their life, you watch them single-handedly, it gets worse every time they do it. Right? Right? Yeah. Okay, I'm just checking. I understand everybody's quiet, and I appreciate that. It makes it very easy to speak up here. But I'm just saying. You can watch how it slowly grows in someone. How it slowly goes from a simple thing to just saying it, and then it watering that ground and growing, and then you notice that it crawls inside that person's ear and they start to accept it. And because they don't speak the truth of God, and because they don't speak that this is not okay, by their words they will be condemned by accepting it. Everybody understand? Everybody following? Okay. I'm just trying to say this. You're going to be held responsible for the things that you hear as well as the things you speak. Okay? Because it's the edifying of the brothers that the Lord respects and he honors. Okay? When this happens, you'll be held responsible for what you speak. Okay? I'm sorry. I just want to get this across. This one thing that I'm saying, if you can take this the rest of your life, you will grow in God so much. Okay. Psalms chapter 50. We're going to read it. This is what this one's called, God the Righteous Judge. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun till its going down out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have sacrificed and made a covenant with me by sacrifices. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the fields are mine. Now this is the part which I was trying to get to. We need to have the backstory first, what God is saying. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Okay? Remember that tree we read about? They'll know you by your fruit. That's what he's saying. He's saying this person that we're talking about, I take it back. It's not really even a person, it's a moment. Because we've all done it. Okay? This moment in your life, when you're tearing down on someone, when you're telling someone why they're not forgivable, why you don't want to spend time with them, why they're not worthy, why this person's this and why this person's that, you've now lost your right to speak of the covenant. You've now lost your rights of this, to speak of this. Okay? What right do you have to take my covenant in your mouth? This person who has bitterness in your heart, this person who is holding grudges, who is speaking ill of everyone else. What right do you have? But to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and you have partaken with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you into pieces and there be no deliverer. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Okay? This isn't doom and gloom. I'm trying to say everything you plant will bear fruit whenever you water it. Okay? All right. Everybody flip to the book of James. I want to keep this short because I want to keep you thinking about this. I want you to think about this. I want you to chew on this. I want you to try to practice this. Okay. If you can practice this, understand it will take you months of time. Months. Most likely the rest of your life. But if you start accepting that this is okay, it will never get better. Remember that what he talked about? It's crucial that you make a stopping point. It's crucial that you have this point when you go, this is not okay. When you start seeing yourself becoming judgmental, when you start seeing yourself becoming bitter, when you start seeing yourself doing these things, when you start hearing yourself using foul language, when you start hearing yourself doing these things, that you put an end to it. Because every last ounce that you give, that's territory you have to now take back. And every last one of us, our whole life, has a certain amount of ground that we've given. Each one of us, when we go, well, this person really hurt me and I'm not going to spend any time with them and I really don't like them, but here's why. Now, understand there are people, the Bible talks about not to have fellowship, blah, blah, blah. That's a totally different thing. But I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the quarrels between the people we call brothers. Okay? The people, your family, your church family, your work family, these people that you call yourself close with, okay? For some of us who do, I guess I've been hearing it called outreach a lot. I just call it soup. But for those people, it's even harder. Because now not only are we held accountable for our families, our church family, our work family, now we're held responsible for the 1,000 people we meet on a weekly basis. Now we're held accountable for every word that we speak to these people. Okay? The book of James, we'll skip it because I have the scripture pretty much memorized. Don't wish yourself to be teachers, for they're held to a stricter judgment. Okay? Every one of you, in one aspect or another, is a teacher. Okay? There are prophets, apostles, you all get that. Okay? But to those people, your work, your family, your church family, you are teachers. You are the sanctification of the saints. You are Mount Zion. You are all those things. You're a family. Okay? Every ill word spoken is an inch of ground that you have given up that if you want to edify those people, you now have to take it back. Think of it as an old civil war battle, okay? They'd all stand up on both lines. This is pretty much the way that we get to heaven, okay? You have the prince of the power of the air. You have the devil. You have our own bitter hearts. You have our deceitful minds, our deceitful tongues, our deceitful everythings. And you have the spirit man, the man which has been born again. A man must be born again. Everybody remember that? How can a man be born again? Okay? I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room knows what it means to be born again, to have a new life. Okay? You now have your confederates and you have your unions. Whatever side you want to call them on. Okay? For every inch of ground that you hand over to the enemy, they're going to take. And rightfully so. It's been given to them. Right? Okay? Every inch of ground. Now, if you want to go forward in your life, you want to edify the brothers, you want to be a better man, you want to be a mentor, you want to be a teacher, you want to be a good parent, you want to be a good friend, you want to be a good older sister, you want to be a good younger sister, you want to be those things, you want to be a role model, every inch that you've given up, you now have to take back. Every bitter thing you've said, you now have to think a positive thing to take that back. Okay? Everybody following? Every bit of quarrel that you've sown, you now have to take back with a bit of friendship, a bit of humility, a piece of the humble pie, which people hear me talk about all the time. People talk about eating that piece of humble pie. That ain't humble pie. It's that whole pie right up in your face. That's the humble pie. That's the humble pie that you're licking up off the ground going. I told somebody this. I'll say it again. You want to know how to make friends? You want to know how to preach Christ? Assume you're wrong all the time. Assume you're wrong and better yourself from it. Okay. Book of James 4, chapter 11 through 12. We're going to stick in James for the last two scriptures. Like I said, I want to keep this short and to the point, like a surgery. I want to keep it sharp in your mind, irrevocable, unchangeable, like a spider that's crawled in and you can't get it out. Okay? Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Okay? Now flip over to chapter 3. This is the scripture that I was talking about that I went, I didn't remember that. I have read the book of James a lot. I probably couldn't count it, but a lot. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I read this, and all of a sudden, God just opened the door and said, pay attention. Listen up. Okay? There's going to be parts in here you haven't heard, and there's going to be parts that you have heard, but just take it with an open mind, because I'd heard all of this before, but there were some parts that I was like, wow, okay, I get it. It makes sense. Okay. We already read the brothers, let you not become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man who is able to bridle his whole body. Stop. Okay? Just, this is the scripture right here that I went, whoa! You bridle your mouth, you've bridled everything. That's where I was like, because I've heard that, you know, the ship is the rudder, and that's a great parable, and that makes a lot of sense. But I was reading him say this, you want to be a perfect man, bridle your mouth. And I went, wow, that was to the point. But that's exactly what it says, right? For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. You want to curb your addictions? You want to curb all these different things? He just said how. Because if you do this, do you know what your mind is going to be on? Instead of those negative things? If you're here on a Sunday morning, I can mostly guarantee what you should be thinking about. His name is Jesus Christ. If you can keep from wandering about trying to reason things and trying to speak these things, and you keep your mind on the prize, the finish line, the one who came to die, the blood, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the great King, the Mighty One, He even calls himself God is a man of war. Pick your name. You keep your mind on him, you have just bridled your mouth. Anybody ever actually seen a horse bridle? I told Randy this and he kind of giggled. You know, I know Josh grew up on a farm too. A horse bridle is a nasty thing. Okay? Is a nasty thing. Basically, it's like a piece of headgear that goes on, and most of the time it's a copper bit. It just depends. But the reason they give them a copper bit is so they don't like it. Okay? It sits in their mouth. It keeps their mouth open. So one, they don't bite people, and two, so they know where to go. Okay? Make sense? They drool all over themselves. They have no sense of pride. They have no choice in where they're going. Anybody picking up who we're supposed to be here? Where are the horses? He's the, you know, get that? Okay. Just making sure, okay? You know, we're supposed to be humble, drool all over ourselves, be obedient to wherever he leads, have a bridled mouth so we don't bite back at the master. Anybody getting the parable? Okay, just checking. Usually I don't like to make, I'm trying to get this across because I get this picture of you know, myself just kind of like slobbering all over myself and being quiet. And I go, wouldn't be all bad. Think about it. I have met some people who don't really talk that much, but the things they say people respect. You know, somebody who's humble, somebody who's willing to look like a fool, who's being obedient to his master, somebody who's willing to do those things, regardless of how he may look, as people, you know, might call him, you know, whatever. It doesn't even matter. But when I think of the bridle, this is what I think of. Hard to swallow, tastes bitter in your mouth, every once in a while makes you feel like a fool, always keeps you in check, it's always pulling on one side to the other when you're not right. Here's your bridle. So pay attention. Okay. Sorry, I wanted to stick on that because this is what I was reading because I was like, oh, that's pretty cool because, you know, I was talking with Josh and we were talking about, you know, trying to harness our mouths and things like that. And I read this and I went, whoa. He who bridles his mouth keeps his whole body in check. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they were so large, are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it, defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and every bird or of reptile, of creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame this tongue, can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and we curse men. And with it we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields forth both fresh and salt water. You don't get both. You don't get both. Let's pray. I want to keep it simple. I want to stop talking. I want to keep it right in your mind. I want to keep it fresh, like a sharp knife when you're skinning something. I want to keep it fresh. Right into your heart. Father God, I pray right now, I pray right this very second that you teach us to be guided by your Spirit, bridled by your word, humbled by every breath that we breathe. Lord God, I pray that you destroy and completely uproot the ground that we have given to the enemy. Lord God, I pray that you give us courage to be active and powerful, thinking on the things of God, thinking on your word, no longer thinking on the negative things. But God, I pray that you teach us to bridle our unruly, poisonous tongue. Lord God, I pray that we no longer accept these things, but that we make a stand. Lord God, I pray that we do not limit this as just a sort of curse words or of a sort of name calling, but in every action that we do that is negative to another person, Lord God, I pray that you open our eyes in that. Every single time that we tear someone down, we will be held to account for it. But Father God, I believe if we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ on the top of the mountains every day that we live, I believe that we will see the salvation of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bridle our mouths. Lord God, I pray that you bridle our tongues to only speak of the goodness of the Lord God, our Creator. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. And I pray that today, someone in this room is touched so much so that they pick this up. Lord God, help me to bridle my tongue also, and help me not to fall into old patterns. And I pray that you forgive me for the things that I have done. Lord, I pray that you teach us how these wildfires start, that with the simple word of our mouth, we can start an entire fire. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bridle our tongues, and that you teach us to only speak of the goodness of God and of the greatness of our brothers and of the positive things that we see in them. Lord God, I pray that we edify each other like the apostles used to, in psalms, in praises, in tongues. Lord God, I pray that you teach us and guide us to walk in your ways. I pray that no matter what we believe, I pray that we only believe in you. No matter how we feel about someone's opinion, no matter how we feel about how we've been wronged, that we look towards the goodness of God to change that. We no longer look to the things that we can change, but that we look to the things that we know you can change. Lord God, bridle our mouths. Help us to know you more, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.